Thank you for the worship so far, Pastor Linda, and also to Michelle. It's such a joy to be here. I'm really excited to share with you how God is moving in mission, but immediately driving up the Highway O and A, I felt right at home, strangely enough, because my university days were spent surrounded by cornfields. So it was a really lovely sight for me to see. And when Pastor Sharon asked me to come and preach during their much needed vacation, I was very glad to say, well, I could share about our mission, the mission through Serve Globally. So I don't know, did any of you know where I'm serving with my family? Did anyone happen to take a glance?
France,
exactly. Now, maybe just upon meeting me, you might not guess France, but France is the mission field where I have served not only as a married missionary, but also in my single days for over 10 years. So, bonjour, hello, et je m'appelle Catherine, et je viens de la France. Very nice, very good. And this is a unique opportunity for me to come to Miller Church because I'm serving globally, but based in Wheaton, Illinois. And this is a special assignment as my sons are transitioning into high school, and this is a unique time for our family to serve in mission, but be based here in the U.S. So this is a unique opportunity for me to be here. And with my husband, Peter, who is the youth director at our sending church, we are both sharing about how God moved in mission in France. So if you're not familiar with Serve Globally, this is the missionary sending department of the Covenant Church, the Covenant denomination. And so we are a spiritual family here, and so I'm always so glad to meet new or different members in the Covenant family. And one unique aspect of Serve Globally is Serve Globally joins the global church. So Serve Globally in sending missionaries to France will not start its own church, but Serve Globally partners with the already existing mission of God through the local French church. And I've studied French all my life, so it was a very smooth transition for me, but for my husband and my two sons, it was a completely new cultural and language experience. So I just want to share with you from the Bible passage a little bit of our journey. And in 2020, we were living in France, as you might have imagined, faced with the challenges of living through the pandemic. And I understand that these past couple of years have been a very strange and difficult time. Yet it's so encouraging to see you gathered here, and I thank God for his faithfulness to you and for your faithfulness to him in gathering as his church and staying strong in the faith, because a little faith goes a long way, even beyond our own expectations. This ties into today's scripture passage, and this also ties into my family's missionary journey, that a little faith goes a long way, even beyond our own expectations. So the passage today about the feeding of the 5,000 may be familiar to you already. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, as we heard read today, the miracle of Jesus feeding a huge crowd of hungry people has been written about in all four of the Gospels. Yet, interestingly, this one miracle of all miracles, other than the resurrection, it's the only miracle that is accounted for in every Gospel writer's testimony. So here in John's account, we are given one unique detail. It's not mentioned in any of the other Gospels. So what is the one detail in John's Gospel not found in the other Gospels? Well, let's take a look. Let's step into the scene of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So imagine that this scene is you stepping into the scene of like an epic movie. The landscape of the crowds would extend beyond view, beyond your own sight, and the chatter of the crowds and the people because of Jesus's reputation as a healer would be, you know, palpable. It would be audible. So many people mulling around, crowded, trying to see where is this miracle healer. So among this crowd of people, the cast of characters are many. The disciples, the 12 disciples, the Pharisees. And yet, who does John choose to highlight? Well, as we heard read, starting from verse 1, sometime after this, after the miracles that Jesus had performed in the chapters before in the Gospel of John, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up, saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Then Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" So here is a boy. Who is the hero in John's gospel account? Well, this is the unique detail that John underlines. It is the boy. It is not to be glossed over. And so in some ways, we might think about, oh, it's the crowds being fed, the numbers, the multitudes. But in John's account, it's just this one little boy. And Jesus performs this miracle, perhaps not to show himself as a hero, but Jesus asks the disciples where to buy the bread as a test of faith. Jesus tests the response of his disciples, but he's also testing our response today. A test of our faith in what we, how we have certain expectations, but it's really our faith, no matter how small, no matter how large, that God uses to perform miracles. And so the unlikely hero of this Bible passage is not an empire-building warrior, not a Marvel hero, but a ruddy, unknown side personality. The hero is the little boy, a hero we might not normally recognize as a model of faith to be followed. The boy, maybe he's reluctant even, but he has enough trust and faith to be obedient, to be selfless, and to humbly offer his little gift to Jesus. This humble gift serves ultimately to prove who Jesus is. And we read that in verse 14, the people began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." And for me, this boy's humble faith, his little gift, reminds me of my missionary journey with our family, our missionary journey. And in this next slide, you'll see where we began our missionary journey in 2017, we arrived in Avignon, France, and where we are today, or recently, in the picture on your right in the US. Our son, or how do you see the change? pretty apparent, especially, you know, it's mostly been a big change for our sons. So our oldest, Boaz, he was 11, and now he's 17. Ugh, I can't keep track. And our youngest, Theo, he was 8, and now he's 14. We had no idea back in 2017 what to expect, but we were willing, with our little faith, to see how God was calling us as his workers in the harvest field, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we had no idea that we would face so many challenges with the language, and especially we did not expect a COVID pandemic. But I'm here today to testify to you of God's faithfulness, of how God's miracle in our lives worked to multiply the little gift of faith we offer to him, and he accomplished his mission to exceed our own expectations. And looking back and reflecting, I can definitely say that I'm here today because of God's miracles. And it's because of the miracles of God that not only our family's needs were met, but also God exceeded our expectations in his mission. So next slide. So when we arrived in Avignon, as I said, I already spoke French, and I immediately engaged in the local church ministry. We partnered with the French local church of Avignon. But my husband, Peter, and our two sons didn't speak French at all. So with the start of school, just like this season, they jumped right into the start of school in the French schools. So you can see this is Theo in front of his French school, which kind of looks like a prison. And it wasn't like, you know, it didn't really bode well for him. But so there he is. And so they started off with school. But unfortunately, we didn't know what to expect. And Avignon didn't really have teachers to teach foreigners like we were, French, teaching French as a foreign language. And so they started out in the schools, my son Theo, as well as my son Boaz, without any teaching accompaniment for the language. It was either sink or swim in French in their schools. So can you imagine with the young children here in this room, how could they survive? So quickly, we started praying. We're like, Lord, help us. We don't know what to do. And when we realized that we would need to make a move, we thought about the next largest city over, which is Lyon. Lyon is the third largest city in France, and it would be more resourced for foreigners to teach French as a foreign language than Avignon. And God made a miracle happen for us to move to Lyon. But let's pause there for a second. And how do I know that God makes miracles happen today? Well, whether you believe in miracles or not, you know, it also is a question of how can I trust God to act in my life? How can I trust him to intervene in our own space and time when I've been so self-sufficient all my life? What is that extra step of faith that we all need to take? Well, as we have read in today's scripture, the little boy hands Jesus what he had for lunch. It was like his lunchbox, and he gives Jesus everything with trust, trust in Jesus for what he might not, what he didn't know could happen, and he would just discover what would happen. And in verse 11, we read, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So imagine the crowds, 5,000, even without the women and the children, and they all had enough to eat, as much as they wanted. How did that happen? I can't explain it. I mean, did Jesus have the basket and like when he took a piece of fish, then like he broke off the head and another head appeared, or he broke off the bread and the bread seemed to get bigger? It was like a bottomless bowl of French fries or onions or whatever you can imagine. But it miraculously happened because no one can explain it. So next slide. Well, the same goes for our miracle in moving to Lyon. I don't know if you can see well, but so Lyon is in red. It's sort of about an hour and a half drive, no, hour and a half train ride from Avignon, which is just south of it. And we didn't know how we would move there because the schools that provided French as foreign language had very limited spots. And so when we applied, at first, our kids were rejected, and we were so disappointed. And then we thought, okay, we have to shift again. But then at the last minute, I received an email from the school about more spots being opened, and my son was given a spot at the school. It was a miracle. I couldn't explain it because they had rejected our son in the first place, but then miraculously another spot opened up that was offered to him. So although it was a difficult decision for the Avignon church, we went to the leaders, the pastor, we asked for their counsel, and through prayer and discernment, they gave us their blessing because they could see that our family was struggling. And we moved to Lyon, not knowing what to expect. So you can see in the photo on the left, Lyon has like two rivers that come together, converge together, and it's a much larger and bustling city. But there, God exceeded our expectations. We moved for our son's schooling, but God also opened doors for ministry in the local church and local partnerships in Lyon. So next slide. So for my husband, Peter, you know, he was just learning French, but he met a pastor at the Lyon Anglican Church. Anglican meaning they speak English. So they quickly develop a rapport and a relationship, and that Anglican church was reaching out to Persian refugees who were coming in floods into Lyon. And most of these refugees were from Iran, but their language was, primary language wasn't Arabic, it was Persian. So there's a whole history in the Middle East of how there have been movements of people groups throughout the Middle East. But these Persian refugees were spiritually seeking, and because of their search, they had to flee persecution from Iran, from the Iran government, because if they did not believe in Islam, they would be jailed, put in prison, or even put to death. So this ministry was not what Peter expected to do. He is gifted in children's and youth ministry, but he was willing, with a little faith. Peter continued to go alongside the Anglican church pastor, and get involved in the ministry. So he's in the blue polo, like with his head resting against our friend Hamid's shoulder. And as you can see, it was a blessing. It was a blessing for both the Persians, who are now being discipled and gathering for worship, as well as for Peter. So as for me, God opened up the door for ministry with not the French local church, but then because of our move, there was a new ministry opening up on the national church level. So next slide. Since I already spoke French, I could serve alongside the French pastors on a national level through a network called EFEC. And the Covenant denomination belongs to the International Federation of Free Evangelical Churches. And this is an organization that keeps different evangelical denominations in touch with one another. And the French team, along with other European national teams, were asking the Covenant for resources to renew their historic churches. So just like, I believe this church is over how many years old? 180, right? So just like this church, there's a vibrant community of faith here in the French church of over not only 150, but 200, you know, historic years of their church existing. They were seeking renewal resources. And the Covenant has a program called Vitality, which is a program I accompanied in my local church in Illinois. And so this was given to all of EFEC, and which is like 31 national denominations, gifted to them for however each country would want to use it. And so in Europe, they received the resources, they translated the resources, but they needed someone to coordinate the program in Europe. And so through EFEC, this is the ministry that I stepped into to go alongside what God is already doing in the French church as well as the European churches. So next slide. So here is an example of the team. On the right, these are the national leaders of church revitalization in Czech Republic, Denmark, France, Finland, and Norway. And there is now an expansion of the resources to Germany, Slovakia, and did you know there is a Swedish-speaking church in Finland. Say that 10 times fast. Swedish speaking Finland church. So because of this team, we discovered that the Finnish church was not able to help the Swedish speaking church. But because of the language, the Norwegian church is closer to Swedish. So on this team, the Norwegian leader is helping the Swedish speaking Finnish church. And that only was possible, the multiplication of this program was only possible because of the Eurovitality team. And so I've been really blessed to see this is not something out of necessarily my skill set, but God has multiplied what little faith we had as missionaries to accomplish his mission. So now that churches are opening their doors, of course, there is a new momentum in Europe to seize the lost time during the pandemic and to plant churches. And so I'm very excited because in September, I will be attending not only the church renewal program in Europe, but also there's a new church planting gathering that will be held by EFEC called Joining Hands in September. Next slide. So the global church's desire is to share the love of Jesus with their little faith, you know, throughout their churches, historic churches, not having seen fruit, there's still this little faith to see how God would go beyond their expectations. And the question for you here today, as we gather here at Miller Church, how will you offer up your faith, whether big or small? How can we all testify and be examples to one another of the gift that God has given us through our faith of salvation? And how can we discover how God will multiply our gift of faith beyond our expectations for his mission? And I could suggest one way, as a little gift of faith, would be, for me, what is the greatest gift to offer, which is prayer. And so here you see our prayer requests as missionaries based here, but serving with me, traveling to France and Europe like 2-3 times a year. Please pray for the renewal of the European pastors and churches in Eurovitality, the church renewal program. So as I said, the joining hands, the conference for church planning will be called Joining Hands in September in Spain. So please pray for the movement of God, the Spirit of God, to encourage all those attending to see more churches planted as we go forward. Also pray for our Persian, as well as the recent wave of Ukrainian refugees in France. Pray for their support. Especially, we have a friend named Ayat, who is a believer now, and he is waiting for a passport from the French government so he can meet his aging father in a midpoint. He can't return to Iran, but someplace midway. And then also pray for our family's transition. We're actually praising God for answered prayer because we are living in a new home. We've moved 3 times in the last 2 years, but we were finally in like a home base in Wheaton, Illinois, and our sons are able to attend high school together for the first time. But just please pray for our continued transition as I serve globally on special assignment. And let's see. Yep, that's about it, really. And just as I share with you and share with other partner churches, we are actually seeing a decrease in our financial support. So please pray for more partners to support us, both prayerfully as well as financially. So as you pray or give with your gift, whatever little or big gift of faith, let's join together in bringing hope of revitalization, hope of Jesus's love to our community here in Millard, as well as overseas and even beyond. Because your little gift of faith will go beyond our own expectations. Merci beaucoup.